Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me saying got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return. I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. I'ma win as a turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russin Rocky.
Other names, Trade X5. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to session 288 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a Thursday midday edition, a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. And I don't care that it's Thursday afternoon, we still will. Actually, I love midday recording. I love not working, I guess is really what it comes down to. But, oh man, it's, I mean, like, we finally have some good news along the way, but, like, I don't know what I did to the fantasy gods and goddesses and overlords and sovereigns and whatever other words out there of the celestial beings of fantasy football, but they don't want me to win this year, and it hurts my soul. So I went to a couple of fantasy football sites. I looked for everything that was news and I wrote it all down. It's not all worth talking about, but it's still worth mentioning because there's a lot. So I'm going to go through it all. And then Rocky, you know, you tell me if you want to talk about any of it. And there's one or two things I do. So it's Will Levis time. Woo. I guess. I don't know. Tannehill was my QB3 in SFB and my first two are on bye this week. So that sucked for me. So I had to go pick up Danny DeVito, and I know that's not his real name, but that's what I'm calling him anyway. Carson Wentz signs with the Rams, of course.
That's hilarious to me.
For my QB2 in Matt Stafford, and my most rostered quarterback in Matt Stafford. But hey, Devon Achane's coming back in week 11. It's not even like designated. They said he's going to be ready to play in week 11, which is fantastic news.
My SFB team is going to be very grateful for that.
Yeah, that does not affect me whatsoever. Neither does Justin Jefferson being designated to return. I don't believe he started practicing yet. I haven't seen anything today, but it's only 12:30, you know, 11:30 in Minnesota. So I don't know if they reported what's going on yet, but he's designated. I think there's like 2-3 weeks for him to be able to start playing before something bad happens. I've never seen the consequences happen, so I don't know if it's a fine or if it's
I don't know,
like,
what it is
he
either.
Just goes IR rest of season. But Frank says he practiced it limited yesterday. What else do we got? Cam Akers tears his Achilles. Like,
that's unbelievable. Gone. Yeah,
so bad. But in all capital letters, Kyler's coming back.
Woo-hoo!
Apparently, there's a new Call of Duty coming out this week also, which is hilarious.
I did not know that, but that is great.
Khalil Herbert is activated. Daniel Jones tears his ACL. Dallas Goedert fractures his forearm. And Darren Waller was put on the IR. So we have questions about Kyler. So we'll get to Kyler later. Now, I know you were not the biggest Will Levis guy. I wasn't the biggest Will Levis guy. But we have two games in, and one of them was against a very good defense. Herbert's not playing tonight. Herbert's not playing tonight? I don't think I have any Herbert, so it doesn't really affect me, but I had no idea there was something wrong. Oh, Khalil Herbert, not Justin.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, no, Khalil Herbert's not playing tonight, no. Don't scare me like that, Frank. But like we saw two games, and we saw a game against a very, very good defense. But he didn't play bad. He didn't throw a touchdown. I don't think he turned the ball. I know he didn't throw an interception. I don't think he fumbled. But
I don't think so. Yeah.
I don't know if he's fearless or stupid to be able to literally just stand there with a three extra man blitz coming at him and just stands poised and throws the ball. Like, and also because he has the arm he has, it's not the biggest deal that he can't set his feet, because like the guy could be on his knees backwards and throw the ball 60 yards because that's just the arm he has. So whether he's great, whether he's terrible, which I think we can say he's not terrible, though wait till the other teams get tape on him, blah, blah. But like, he seems good. Like, he seems like if you took him at the end of the first, you're happy with what you got. And I never really saw him go earlier than the end of the first. So it feels like it's nice payoff.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still waiting to see, but that's probably because I was a big Will Levis detractor coming out of the draft. So, yeah, it's two nice games. I'd like to see more. But I definitely think it's already a decent payoff. I mean, he's a starting quarterback probably for the rest of the year. That alone in his rookie year, being picked in the NFL second round, is probably a good payoff on what you paid for him in rookie drafts anyway. A lot of drafts I saw him going in the early second. He definitely was a late first in some. Yeah. But yeah, if you spent like the 202 on him, just getting him in the starting lineup halfway through the season is a win. And the fact that he's looked good is a bonus on top of it. So obviously, given where I started from, if I had any, which I don't, obviously, yeah, I'd probably be looking to sell soon, especially if he has another good game or two. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's going to be an all pro. And you're selling too low, but that would be my take. I'd be happy to get the return on investment. If you can get a first for him next year and maybe get somebody better, like whether it's a quarterback or a receiver, whoever, next year's class is all supposed to be pretty good. I'd be leaning that way. But again, I don't want to kill him too much because he has looked good. So I can't, there's not much I can really say. He's looked good. He had four touchdowns the first game and no touchdowns the second, but looked good while doing it.
Yeah, and what really got me was the no interceptions. And clearly he's going to throw some. He's not the passer C.J. Stroud is, who's going to break every single record ever for rookie quarterbacks. And that's throwing for 6,000 yards last game.
Yeah, and that's not part of what I thought was going to be part of the problem with Levis, his interception. So, yeah, that is a big plus there.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's going to regress. He's not going to throw four touchdowns or zero every week. He's going to make some mistakes, but like you said, like you feel good about what you have in that. And I guess you answered my question in, would you just take that late first you most likely spend, or early second you get your late first in 24? You're willing to just say, cool, that worked out, move on.
Yeah, I think so. I but again, if you drafted him in the late first, you might be more of a Will Levis believer than I am. So I did not draft him anywhere in the late first. And I don't even think, like I said, I think I have zero shares. So I don't think I even got him in the early second. But I'm fine cashing out. I don't know enough about the back end of the class to know if it's, you know, what exactly you're getting there yet. But I think I'd be fine rolling it over. And I wouldn't fault anybody too. Maybe, like I said, maybe you give him a little more. If he keeps playing well, you can get maybe more than a late first. If he has another four touchdown game in the next 2 weeks, maybe you can get a first and a second or something from somebody rebuilding and thinks Will Levis is going to be the next big thing or something like that.
Yeah. Truth is, if he doesn't look awful for the rest of the season, I think his value goes up.
Yeah.
Like he's absolutely, there's enough people who don't or didn't, I guess, believe in Will Levis that if he just doesn't suck for the rest of the season, his value is probably going to go up. Because there's going to be a lot of QBs getting older, and Will Levis is young and gigantic. And
yeah, I mean, we see it right now.
So people and can run, so people like the idea of that. And he'll probably be pushed up to that, like QB12 amorphous blob of an area, especially now that Kirk Cousins is going to fall, Daniel Jones is going to fall. Like Dak, no matter how well Dak does, he's still going to fall once the season ends because he's a Cowboy and he's Dak Prescott. Like, so Will Levis has probably a easy shot of being a top 12 quarterback at the end of the season.
Yeah, and you see it right now. Like, there's it seems like there's barely enough quarterbacks to quarterback half the league right now. So, yeah. And a lot of that isn't just injury. A lot of it, or if it is injury, it's injury to old guys. Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford, right now. Kirk Cousins is getting older. You know, all this stuff. Daniel Jones was never that good to begin with, and now tore his ACL. So, yeah, the quarterback situation in the league is not ideal right now. So. He's going to hold a lot of value if he stays healthy and, like you said, just doesn't suck. I think he's definitely going to be worth a bit. So it probably does make more sense to hold on to the cash out after two games. But again, if he's like really good for the next month, then I think it's going to boom even quicker than just making it through the season, not sucking. So then I might. So I think I'd hold right now. Actually, now the more we talk it out.
Frank says, would you attach a pick to him to upgrade? Always.
Yes, and I would definitely do. Yeah.
It's really funny. I have a friend who, him and I do a lot of football card stuff together, and he has this paralysis when it comes to selling anything, because he's like, but if this happens, it'll be worth more. But if this happens, it'll be worth more. And my answer to him is, your odds of selling anything in the world at exact peak value are so low that if you can get a profit, you take your profit and it's fine. Yeah. And I mean, of course, we're not talking, you know, Bitcoin or Apple stock. I mean, we're, you know, and Will Levis, we're not talking about Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes. So, like, he's not going to very easily anytime soon be worth three firsts. So if you can get a first and a second and, oh man, he's worth two firsts in a couple of weeks, you didn't really miss out on much. You got your profit. It's fine. So, like, just don't get paralyzed when it comes to, but he could be worth more, but he could be worth more. If you don't believe in the guy and you can get your profit, just take it. Don't overthink it. This is mostly for fun, unless you play big money leagues, in which case don't listen to me because that terrifies me. And I could not play in big money leagues. I'd be too afraid to do anything.
Frank's question in the chat is an interesting one. I'm curious your answer. I think I know what I would do, but would you do Levis in a first for Kyler?
The only reason I say no is because of a new offense for Kyler. It's going to take him time to come in and do well. I'll probably regret it in a couple of weeks if Kyler comes out and looks like Kyler. But if they're for the next few weeks and I'm okay with my Levis points, no. The answer is yes. I would do that because I believe in Kyler as a quarterback, and I firmly believe that they're putting him out there to succeed. Maybe if it is to keep losing games and to trade him away so they can get Caleb or whatever, there's no reason to put Kyler out there for him to fail, because they want to trade him away if they're going to get Caleb. They don't just want him as a backup. That's way too expensive and bad management. Though the NFL, who knows? So yes, my answer is absolutely yeah. I would send Levis and hopefully a late first for Kyler, but I would do that.
Yeah, it would have to be a late first for me. And I mostly agree. I do think you maybe, given still, I think the general attitude around Kyler, maybe not need to. Like, I might try and get a second bet, like Levis and first for Kyler. And
I would do that anyway. Without thinking, I would do that.
I just feel like people are still so down on Kyler, besides like me and maybe you, that you could maybe get that done. I would, obviously you always try and get a little more, but I would probably push hard on that. I would probably eventually cave to Levis in the first, but I would act like I wouldn't.
All right. So, I mean, Carson Wentz signing with the Rams. I mean, you don't want to go pick up Carson Wentz, and I'm praying this is just that their backup was bad, so they want someone who's played the game before. I'm hoping because Stafford was questionable last week. They were talking like he was at least throwing a ball. Mm-hmm. So hopefully this week off is enough for him to come back. And then if something re-injures, or if they're just that bad and they don't want to risk breaking the dude's thumb off and they bench him for the rest of the season. But like, if that's the case, I still just don't know about wanting Wentz. That scares me a little bit for Puka and for Cooper, though. Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, he's just going to get sacked all over the place. That's what he does. He holds on to the ball too long, and he throws intercept. Like, I still can't believe, like, as an Eagles fan, that he was actually as good as he was in 2017. Like, given most of the rest of his career.
I know. Which is also another reason that, you know, I've gotten skittish at boosting up, especially quarterbacks, because we got burned a couple in a row. I mean, there was like Carson Wentz, there was Baker, like there was a couple of people that were great their rookie year and then not. And of course, that screws you over for like when Justin Herbert comes in and does what he does, and like you're worried, but no, Justin Herbert kept doing it.
Yeah, Baker was like mid first round startup at one point, which is kind of insane.
People put him in QB one and two or two. It was very. Yeah. I mean, I think that's all the news that's really worth talking about. Daniel Jones is ACL, Darren Waller is IR. At this point, man, I'm scared for Saquon because he's literally all they're going to have, and there's nothing you could really do. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
So let's move on to the, you know, the questions first, because we're talking about this stuff, so let's just go for it. Well, Frank is in the chat, but he also said beforehand, time to buy all Cardinals. Kyler and Connor on the way back makes Hollywood and McBride better. I tried to buy Hollywood from you last week, but you just didn't answer the trade in time, which worked out well for me because I offered you Tank Dell and then he went nuts. So glad I revoked that right before the game started. Honestly, yes. Yeah. Like if they were doing well before, they're going to do better now.
Hollywood was solid with Dobbs.
Yeah. Hollywood. I mean, he's just good. That's what that comes down to. But like McBride, like Kyler did use their tight ends. It might be game plan, but still we see this guy's game plan is still to use the tight end because McBride started doing, you know, I didn't want it to be this way for Ertz to fade. Like I love Zach Ertz, so I didn't want him to get hurt, but we knew it was like a year or two and then Ertz was gone and McBride was going to be the guy. He's good.
Yeah.
And here he is. He's going to do well. So Kyler coming back is only good things. Connor, I'm less excited about. I mean, I have him on a team or two, but he wasn't doing great at the beginning of the year, and the offense was doing okay. Of course, Kyler makes the offense even better, but like, I'm not going and buying Connor all that much. Like, if I can get him for a couple of thirds, sure, but I don't even think I really want to spend a second on him, and I'm pretty willing to throw my seconds around on a competing team like they're nothing. So, like...
Yeah, I think you're right. I was just looking it up. He was, I thought he was a little better than you were saying, but really he wasn't. he was basically in the, you know, he had 12, 16, he had a 20-point game week three, and then 6.6, 4.6, which I guess is the game he got hurt. He's old, and it's coming off an injury. He's quote unquote injury prone anyway. Yeah, I don't think I don't even know. It would have to be like, I had to be pretty sure it's the 212 if I was going to give up a second, I think.
Yeah, and... Oh, man, I had something to say, and it's gone. The only positive I can say for acquiring Connor or having Connor on your team and feeling optimistic is that none of their running backs did anything worthwhile while he was gone, and they didn't go out and get another running back. So he's going to be the dude, and they're not really going to... No one's going to take touches away from him. So I guess he'll get the volume, and you just got to hope he does something with it. Another player I'm fascinated with is Christian Watson. Obviously he's dead weight for now, but with a new QB, could be a monster. Is he a sneaky buy? I don't think Love is playing poorly enough that they're going to be able to do something at quarterback. Like they're going to have to go out and legitimately pay for a quarterback. And I don't know if he's doing poorly enough for them to do that.
Kirk Cousins. I'm kind of with you. I think he probably does need a QB change to really be unlocked. I still like him, and he did show us flashes last year. But I just don't know that with Jordan Love in that offense that it's ever going to really happen the way we want for Christian Watson.
Yeah, like I really think that maybe after this season they see enough of Love, and then they maybe alter a game plan to more to his. I haven't watched a lot of Green Bay games, so I don't know how bad it is. Like, we just knew at the beginning of the season his touchdown rate was unsustainable, and it has been. You know, like, it regressed. Like, it went down. So, I have a couple of Christian Watson shares that I have been trying to move, mostly because they're on competing teams. And, well, it's nice to have the upside of, like, maybe upside of the future. I just want my points now. And I was hoping for what we saw last year, and it doesn't seem to be happening.
Yeah, I'm with you. I have some that I think I even gotten offers for that. I feel like now I probably should. So like equivalent to like late first offers and yeah, now I don't know that you're getting that. So
yeah, if I could get late first for Christian Watson at this point, I would probably take it again.
Yeah.
Team, so hopefully it's a player scoring points of that value. But like if I can get something like that, I'd probably just take it. But like if you do believe in him, you can go get him cheap now. So like if you can pay a second for Christian Watson on a bad team, a middling team, that's absolutely a great upside play, because if they do change quarterback or if they do change the game plan and he's more than just a YOLO run straight guy, because we've seen that he can do more than that, or just if he has an 80% Aaron Rodgers-esque quarterback, which there's a couple, you know, of like, you know, so he can do better. So that's absolutely a good buy if you do believe in him. Me, they were just in case shares, and I'm feeling pretty meh about it at this point. So, I mean, I'm not going out and getting any.
Yeah, I don't even know that I'm that interested in acquiring. Just like you said, I'm worried Love's going to be there too long before anything really happens with him.
20, 21, 22, 23 is his last year with the fifth year option.
Yeah, I thought they did sign him through, like, either pick. I don't know who's picking up the option. I think they actually gave him a contract that took him through next year.
Oh, that's right. Like they did extend him. That's right.
I think it's just through next year. I think he gets like 20 mil or something next year, like that. I could be totally wrong on the numbers, but he did get something that I think takes him through 24, and then they can cut bait if they need to. But that's still a long time to wait if you don't think Love and Watson can be a thing.
Yeah. Steve, Josh Dobbs is showing himself to be a decent bridge QB. He can join a new team, quickly learn the basics of the offense, and at least stabilize the position for a while. Maybe Ryan Fitzpatrick is a decent comp in that way, because they're both brilliant. though certainly a different playing style. Almost no one will ever be Ryan Fitzpatrick's playing style, and it should stay that way. What value would you place on a QB like Dobbs that is not going to be a long-term answer for any team, but could be starting somewhere every year? The answer to that is always like an early second to me. It's the kind of guy that when he's starting, when he's playing, you'll want a late first for, but the non-point scoring season's going to hit. He probably won't be under contract, but you know he's going to end up somewhere and either be a very, very good backup or someplace like he'll be the next Teddy Bridgewater. You know, the guy that's going to go somewhere, Andy Dalton, go for a year, go play. And that absolutely has value, but I'm not paying a first for that. If I can, but I'm willing to pay a second and then try and sell him for a first once the season starts and it turns out he's playing. But again, worst case scenario, you paid a second for a very good backup, in which case that's not bad.
Yeah, I don't know that anybody's really given up a first for Josh Dobbs, even when he's playing and in season. That's what I'm willing to give. I don't even know if I would give a second during in off season if I felt like he was going to be a backup. Like I'd have to know he's starting and getting me points. He was definitely worth a second, you know, playing for the Cardinals. He put up some nice games there, but in the non-point scoring season, I don't believe he has a chance to really start if he goes somewhere where he's clearly the backup, or even just in line to be the backup, unless something goes crazy. I don't think that I would really want to give up the second. I'd have to know that he's in my lineup scoring points.
That's fair.
That's to get to a second for I would never give up a first for Josh. I don't care how many points he's scoring. I wouldn't believe it.
Well, if he's somewhere and he's starting, like if he goes to the Packers, I mean, just making up a team at this point, like if he goes to the Packers, they sign him to a 3-year deal, which is usually really a 2-year deal. Like, he's probably worth a first. But like Rocky said, if it's somewhere where it's maybe,
yeah,
you know, then that makes it a little harder. That definitely makes you not want to pay a first. But if he goes somewhere and he's the starter, like he's shown that he's good enough to be worth the first.
Do you think that'll actually happen with him though? That'll go somewhere where he looks like he's going to be the starter.
Man, the QB landscape is scary enough.
It is bad. We just talked about that, but
yeah, like it. This sounds terrible, but there's no better time than right now to be in a situation where you can go somewhere. Hopefully he stays healthy and be ready to go, because there's a lot of injury, a lot of havoc going on right now. And well, Eric was the next question. He's asking questions in the chat also, so let's go through them all. What are your thoughts on Fields when he returns? Is Fields like Kyler, where the team needs to either showcase him or build his confidence for next year? The team needs to play him to his style. I don't know why they feel like the first four games they need to try and make him a pocket passer. I get it. You don't want your franchise guy to be running around like a madman, but you want Justin Fields running around like a madman, just like you want Kyler running around like a madman, just like you want Josh Allen, just like you want Lamar Jackson. Of course, like Lamar's Jackson first rookie year when he was running like 20 something times a game. All right, slow down, bro. We don't want you to die. Like, but you want Fields moving, even if it is just like Russell Wilson behind the line of scrimmage when he was younger. Like, you need Justin Fields needs to be moving, and they need to commit to him being him. So, like, if that's the case, I mean, I'm a Justin Fields fan. I believe that even if the Bears end up with the one and two pick, I should say, which looks very likely with Kyler starting because the Cardinals have the one at the moment. Kyler's worth a win or two on his own, even if the team is bad, which means Fields is either getting moved and Caleb's going to start, or they're going to move the 101 and have the ability to make their team better. So I'm a fan of Fields in general. I think he's good. I think they should give him, if they're smart, they just go back to what they did the 2-3 games before he got hurt and for the last 2/3 of last season.
Yeah, you said it. It's so weird. The beginning of both of the last two seasons, they seemed to misuse him, and then they figured it out, and just this year he got hurt. But, I mean, even with this last game for the Bears, I don't know if you saw Badgett had like 60, 70 yards rushing or something like that. So, on the season, if you go by points per game, and this is including a 6.5 in the game he got injured, he's QB 12 in points per game, and that's with the slow start and with an injured game in there. So, like, he's good, and he's good from a fantasy perspective. Maybe, you know, he hasn't proven it totally from a passing perspective, but I still think we saw that on tape in college. He was a very good passer, and if they let him run, that could help open up the passing as well.
So. Yeah, and he and DJ Moore have shown that they can play well together. Yes. And man, they're in line to get Marvin Harrison Jr. if they want, who would be a perfect complement to DJ Moore because there's like a 1.5-foot difference between the two of them. So, like, I really do. I believe in Justin Fields, and I believe that it's not hard from where the Bears stand to make him good. They just need to actually do it.
Yep.
His question that he gave before: what one player is crushing your soul the most through the first half of the season, either through their own terrible play or by making someone you had high hopes for underperforming or obsolete? I mean, after week one of Calvin Ridley, I've been crushed ever since. Like, I get that offense is weird. It likes to go up and like they are not a consistent offense, but like, all of a sudden, Calvin Ridley can't beat double coverage, and it's weird. And other teams are just letting Christian Kirk go nuts instead of spreading the defense out. So that's absolutely hurting me. And it's funny, like, Roman in here brings up Higgins. But the thing is, I'm going on I forgot who said it in the first place. I think it was J.J. Zacharyson said it a week or two ago. We just, this past game, had our first game of what seemed like a healthy Joe Burrow and a healthy T. Higgins on the same field at the same time. At the beginning of the season, Joe Burrow was hurt, and then T. Higgins got hurt. And it took 2-3 games for Higgins to get back. Like, the second game back for Higgins, Tyler Boyd ran more routes and had more snaps and had more targets. But then last week, Higgins goes 8-for-110. Like,
yeah.
I was never worried about T. Higgins. He's going to be fine. It was just a very crappy situation to begin the season. I mean, I'm more like, man, quarterbacks are crushing my soul just because they're all getting hurt. Every single quarterback I own is hurt or has a week 10 bye. And I have a couple of teams that don't have a starting quarterback either from injury or for bye week. And it is my fault for not looking, I guess. But I mean, that's my, like, Calvin Ridley and hurt quarterbacks is really what hurt me more than anything else.
Can I say the entire Atlanta offense is crushing my soul?
Fair. I mean, well, Arthur Smith is crushing my soul.
Yeah, basically it's what it is. Arthur Smith is crushing.
Drake London hasn't been doing terribly the past few games. He got hurt, you know, and missed this past week, but he's not – he didn't make that ascension we hoped, prayed for, even though we didn't have that much hope with Desmond Ridder. But like he was getting targets, you know, once they realized that Bijan's a scrub and that Tyler Algier is in fact their starting running back. You know, they were throwing the ball a decent amount and London was getting his shares. Of course, you can't throw the ball enough to have Jonnu Smith also get his deal. And then, you know, you give Pitts whatever's left over. Someone pointed out on FanDuel or DraftKings or whatever, Jonnu Smith is actually more expensive than Kyle Pitts this week.
Yeah, is there like a bigger front office coach disconnect in the league? They drafted three top 12 offensive skill players, and he wants to use none of them in favor of Jonnu Smith and Tyler Algier and, I don't know, Mac Hollins or whatever the hell else he's throwing out there at receiver. I do not, especially Bijan is like, he's the one's really, I have him on a redraft team that's a high buy-in. It's crushed. That's really crushing my soul because he looked amazing the first couple of games. And then, like you said, they decided, wait a second, we have Tyler Algier. Why are we running Bijan out there?
Yeah.
It's just, it's killer. I do not understand, like, I don't understand how he doesn't give these guys more work. Like you said, like, Jonnu Smith is a viable tight end start now because Arthur Smith.
I'm not going to lie. I love it. I was always a Jonnu Smith.
But Kyle Pitts is there.
I never said it was good for the situation. I'm just saying I'm happy Jonnu's finally doing something.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get to the Trade Addicts trades. Trade Addicts leagues are 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception and 0.05 points for return yardage except for TA1. First trade, Kyler Murray, Jalen Hyatt, and a 24th third for Dak Prescott and Ken Walker. That's tough.
I know. I was hoping you were going to start.
Here's my thing. You know, Frank asked the question in the Cool Kids Club yesterday and on the Grind yesterday, like, are we panicking about Ken Walker? And my answer was, no, he's just falling back to reality. Like, Ken Walker had a very, very good start to the season. And another Pete Carroll move of letting Zach Charbonnet outsnap the guy that's been playing very well. But the thing is, even last year, Ken Walker did well when that offense was running very well. That offense has not run very well at all this season, which was why it was surprising how well Ken Walker was doing at the beginning of the year. Sorry, Kenneth Walker was doing at the beginning of the year. So, like, this is more along the lines of what I expected, though Charbonnet out-snapping Walker, but only getting, like, 4 carries for 9 yards is not a great sign. Just to put that out there. But Dak Prescott is scoring really well. Like, this past 3 games, he's averaging over 25 points a game. CeeDee Lamb is crushing it. Jake Ferguson is apparently a tight end one. Like, I mean, I get that there's that age difference, but I don't care at quarterback. I don't think Dak Prescott's going anywhere. So I think I'm going to take Dak Prescott and Ken Walker here.
Yeah, I'm with you, even though I am a Kyler Murray stan. I would rather have Kyler over Dak, but Ken Walker is a really big add to get to Kyler. I think I take the young running back and Dak Prescott. Like you said, he's starting to look better. They are becoming a little more of a passing offense now too. I can't give up that much for Kyler. The part of the reason I like Kyler so much is you don't have to give up that much. So, and this would be a little too much for me. So I would take the Dak side.
And of course, this seems like a rebuilding move, right? Like, I don't remember who made this trade or anything, but it seems like, you know, I had not, you know, metaphorically me, not me, you know, I have Dak and Ken Walker and I wanted to start getting younger, start thinking to next year. This is a smart idea. I want more than Hyatt and a third being added to it. Yeah. I think it's where I'm stuck.
I'm with you.
Okay. The next one, Man, Puka is the village bicycle in TA1. And the thing is, Jim has sent him and, like, I don't know what his deal, like, the abusive relationship between Jim and Puka Nakua is, but he keeps going back and forth. And it's kind of hilarious to watch. The first trade is Chris Olave for Puka and a 25 second. Now, Rocky, this is probably easier or more interesting coming from you because your feelings on Chris Olave vary very differently from mine. So what do you think about Puka and Chris Olave straight up in the first place? Like, what's your feeling on the two of them?
That's what I saw this one, and it was an interesting one. And what it came down to do for me is give me the 25 second. I actually think these two could be very similar. Like, I've made the comparison that Puka could be the Robert Woods low end one, high end two, even with Cooper Kupp there another couple of years. I'm not sure.
Woods was already old at the time, and that's what was great because it kept him cheap.
Yes, but that's what I'm saying. You could be getting that kind of production out of Puka. It's going to cost you more, and it is costing you more here. But I think Olave, I don't expect much more than that from him. So why wouldn't I take 25? I've said it all along. I'm not sure Olave is better than a wide receiver too. Yeah. I don't think Puka Nakua is worse than a wide receiver too. Give me the 25 second.
That's very fair enough. And I mean, me personally, who is higher on Chris Olave than you are, I still think this is fine. And if this was sent to me on any way, like, I don't know who made this. I'm pretty sure Kenny had Chris Olave, in which case he's not competing. So I love getting Puka in a second. I wish it was a 24 second, of course. Oh, here we go. Eric, I smashed accept for Olave so fast. I got approached for a PED test right afterwards. I get it. I do believe Olave has the ability to be a QB1. They need a QB1 for him to be a wide receiver one. And I don't mean Taysom Hill as their QB1 because he seems to be their QB1 at the moment. Who, again, Rocky, did not answer my trade offer for Taysom Hill. You need to check your trade offer.
I did, unless you sent me a new one.
I think I sent you, before last week, I sent you 2/3 for Taysom and you never answered it. And then he went nuts again, so I'm sure you wouldn't accept it now.
Oh, that one, I rejected.
Well, you should have taken it. though I think I had to start Hunter Henry, and he scored a touchdown, so it was fine.
I didn't start Taysom.
Yeah, fair enough. I believe in Olave, but if I'm not good and I can get a wide receiver who has shown similar range of outcomes for me doing it in a different way, because to me Olave can be that wide receiver one kind of player. He just needs the team to let him do that, and Puka clearly is not that X type. He has Cooper Kupp on the team, like Rocky said, the Robert Woods of 2 or 3 years ago, who's still gonna score you a lot of points.
So
I love getting a little bit on top of that, but on the other hand, again, if you believe in Olave, this is a pretty easy price to pay, so I like this trade a lot for both of them. And then right away, Jim was just like, I miss Puka too much. I can't take it anymore. And he sends a 24 first and Michael Wilson for Puka. Man, Michael Wilson might be the move to make right now. Like, he's on the field a lot and doing pretty well with what he's getting from Josh Dobbs and Clayton Tune, if that's his name, right? Clayton Tune,
yep.
So he might be a great, the Cardinal we did not talk about so far to go get. So I don't remember where this 24 first would be, but sending a first for Puka, a first plus a little bit for Puka, is right on par for me. So this is, again, absolutely fine.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's basically even. I think it was like mid to late. So the first, which is pretty, like you said, pretty much the value right now.
Yeah.
And like you said, Wilson is getting a lot of run. He had one kind of splash game where I think he scored a couple touchdowns. Other than that, he hasn't been doing a ton fantasy wise in terms of production this year, but he's definitely showing signs that he could be a legit player. So I like getting that little add in when you're sending off Puka for a first.
Yeah. Like, he's having a rookie year for a wide receiver. You'd love to see, like, if we were, if this were a third round drafted wide receiver, I think actually Michael Wilson may have been a third round drafted wide receiver.
Like, he was, but like the very end. I have his page up right now. Yeah,
there you go. Like, we would be happy with the season this guy was having if we were expecting him to do well. So yes. The fact that no one really had Michael Wilson in their thoughts and he's doing this, I feel like should be a bigger deal. But the fact that it's not means maybe you could just get him cheaper. Next trade is a very important lesson. Don't make trades with people you're playing this week. Because, well, I had Evan Engram on my team and no other tight end. And I wanted to go get Travis Kelce. So I trade Josh Jacobs and Evan Engram for Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce scores 6 points. Josh Jacobs scores like 26 points. And I lost by like 7. I sent Josh Jacobs and Evan Engram for Travis Kelce. My TA2 team is, I hate how many players I have, so I was looking to condense. I hate running backs, and Josh Jacobs has been up and down, though of course now it looks like he's crushing it. And then I just want Travis Kelce on all of my teams. So that's honestly what made me go and do this. I felt good about it. I still feel fine about it. It sucks that I lost last week, but I don't care. I want Travis Kelce.
I'm with you. Give me Kelce. I know he had a horrible game this week. Maybe he's in store for more because Taylor's on tour. I don't know. No, he's been looking, you know, after the early injury, before the first game, he's been looking really, you know, like Travis Kelce until this week. So I'll just give me all those points, especially in a 1.75 tight end premium. Josh Jacobs is actually, if you look at total points, doing pretty well. But he's, like you said, been up and down. I don't trust the Raiders with Aiden O'Connell at the helm now. So, and Evan Engram is having a very nice season, though. Yeah. Better than I thought it was going to be. With Ridley added in there, I thought there were going to be kind of too many mouths to feed. And I didn't love Engram this year. And he's proven me wrong. He's like a... After the elite guys, he's one of the best guys you can throw in there.
Tight end four-ish or five-ish right now. Yeah. All right, next one. J.K. Dobbins for Taysom Hill. I got to be honest. This was sent to me. I had Dobbins. Someone offered me Hill. I already had Travis Kelce. I'm just like, J.K. Dobbins is practically zero value to me at the moment. I don't want anyone else getting Taysom Hill. All right. Dollar for fantasy cares. Let's go.
Yeah, you've been on Taysom Hill shopping spree, it seems like.
But this wasn't even me. This was sent
to me. I know. I was wondering if maybe this sparked it or something. Because, yeah, you sent me a couple of different offers, I think. I saw you get them, I think, in maybe another trade. That's perfectly fine to me. Yeah, Dobbins has, like, no value. Taysom Hill, no one wants to – no one can expect much for. No one wants to pay much for because – even though he's had like 3 17-20 point games in a row, you're always worried he's gonna have 3 games in a row where he touches the ball 3 times too. So nothing's dependable with him. So they both don't have much value. Taysom Hill scoring points. So if you're contending, Taysom Hill. If not, I'm fine taking a flyer on Dobbins coming back and being something.
Yeah, like to me, this was a fine enough price to even just to play keep away. Not let anyone else get those points. Trade Addicts 3, Quentin Johnston and a 25 first for Zay Flowers and a 25 third, which is hilarious because they were drafted back to back in every single draft. I'm not giving up on Quentin Johnston yet. He was raw-ish coming in. Like, I was kind of hoping they would treat him like Seattle treated DK when he came in. Just have him run far and fast at the beginning and then start working him in. And it seemed like that started to happen. Like 2 weeks ago, he had like 3 or 4 catches with under 10 yards of, you know, depth of target. And then, of course, last week didn't go his way. But it's just starting to. I think this is one of the receivers that, you know, in most cases, rookie wide receivers usually don't start to hit until the second half of the season, the last third. I think we're going to see a little bit of an emergence from Quentin Johnston. I don't think he's going to magically be a top 12 wide receiver in any way, shape, or form. But we've also seen a slump from Zay Flowers the past couple of games. I got to be honest. If I have Zay Flowers and someone threw Quentin Johnston and any first at me, I probably take it because I believe in Johnston. But I do like I am now higher on Zay Flowers than I was before. Like I literally drafted 0 Zay Flowers over Quentin Johnston. when I had the picks in that area, I took Quentin Johnston.
Yeah, we agree too much, Russ. The first there is, again, is what's selling it for me. Like, obviously, Zay Flowers has looked pretty nice this year, had some good games. Has kind of, I think, been the leading target getter at wide receiver for the Ravens. So that's exactly what you want to see out of a rookie. And we haven't seen much of Johnston. But like you said, I had Johnston rated higher coming out. And it's not like he's been getting a lot of usage, which is good, and a lot of you know, running a lot of routes and getting on a decent amount of targets. But it's not like he's been lighting the world on fire either. I looked it up while you were talking. Wide receiver 46 right now is Zay Flowers. So he's been very solid for a rookie, and he's got a bunch of double-digit games. But they're mostly in the 10 to 11, 12 ish range. So good stuff, but give me the first and the guy that I liked coming out more.
Exactly. Yeah, we're skipping that next one. That's super boring. TA4, Javonte Williams, Amari Cooper, and Zach Wilson for Elijah Moore, a 24 first and 25 second. I think I'm with the players. Like, if I don't know whose pick this was because I don't even know who did this trade, but let's say it's my first. I'm competing. It's my first, my 25 second. Elijah Moore is okay. Javonte Williams had 27 carries last game. Like, he's the dude there, and I never thought that was going to be the case because it never seemed like Denver wanted a guy. Like, they always seemed like they wanted multiple running backs. But Javonte Williams is there, and he's going to be the guy. Amari Cooper is just really good, is what it comes down to. And Zach Wilson is a starting quarterback. That's the best I have to say about him.
Would currently be the 106, but the guy is 603. I mean, 6-3. So he could be mid to late. It could be even later than that. I'm sorry,
like, 107. Like, you probably have to pay a first for Javonte at this point. You probably have to pay a late first for Amari Cooper. You're paying the 25 second for Zach Wilson. So if you're telling me I can give a mid to late 24 first and Elijah Moore for Javonte and Amari Cooper, I do that.
Yeah, I'm just going to keep agreeing with you, Russ, as I knock my mic off my table.
And yeah, well, it's very strange that you agree with me so much that you just, like, you know, this is ridiculous. I knock
stuff over.
Way, like, again, this is another, seems to be, I should say, because, again, I don't remember who made this trade, another, all right, well, my season's over, you know, kind of move. I get it. You like Elijah Moore is good. He's doing all right, and he's younger, way younger than Amari Cooper. So that's fine. But I think I want a little more, though. I don't know you get all that much more. So, like, maybe that is just the reality of what the value is. But I don't feel great about it. Yeah, that's fine. All right, Trade Addict 7. This one hurt my soul a little bit because Casey sent me a trade for Sam Howell, and I have zero starting quarterbacks in TA7 at the moment. And I don't remember what it was, but it was a bigger deal, and I couldn't do it. I rejected. And then a couple of minutes later, this deal comes through, and it was Sam Howell and a 24 second for a 24 first and 24 third. The fun part of this, all of the picks are from the same team. So she literally got a full 12 picks higher than the second. Like, I love how clean and easy that is. So it's Sam Howell for a mid-second, for a mid-first, and a mid-third. Now, of course, Sam Howell is going to make this team better because, like him or not, he's like the QB6 right now. You know, he's might not be the greatest in real life. The dude just hopefully survives the season with the amount of hits he takes. But he's scoring. He's doing well. So I think I would I like this both ways. If you don't believe in Sam Howell and you can get a first for him, you take it. Of course, sending back the second doesn't feel great on top, but still, it's a full 12 picks, and that makes me feel more than enough willing to just be like, yeah, that's fine. I'll do that. TA8 is the next trade, and this was one of my panic moves. Kirk Cousins got hurt. We all know that. Kirk Cousins is my quarterback. My Trade Addicts 8 team is like held together by bubblegum and not even like zip ties and duct tape. It's like scotch tape. It's not even like that strong, but it's held together. So I sent Kirk Cousins, Trey Palmer, which hurt because I like Trey Palmer and he's doing pretty well. Kind of like the whole Michael Wilson thing. Like he's having a really good season. It's just there's other players doing better on that team. So it's not as noticeable. So Kirk Cousins, Trey Palmer, and a 25 first for Sam Howell and Austin Eckler. I mean, this, I was like, this was one of those things where that guy updated their trade bait and they put Howell and Eckler on there. And I'm like, okay. And it's, I mean, sending a 25 first for either of these guys seems fine. Cousins for either of these guys feels fine. So this felt like a fine trade. And I gave up the young wide receiver to get the deal done because they're rebuilding.
I think you're completely wrong, Ross.
Actually, liar.
Actually, I agree with you again. you're saying exactly what I'm thinking. So, yeah, I mean, I think this is a perfect kind of get some points trade. Like, especially with the 25 first instead of 24 first, it makes it a no-brainer to me to take the points. And I'm not even a big Sam Howell guy, but he somehow keeps producing fantasy points.
Yep.
So, yeah, if you have Cousins, you want to compete. And I think he's pretty much locked in for the rest of the year. So
for sure.
At least it could be more. And given the way he is playing, he's having some really good games. He's having some really bad turnovers at times too and bad sacks. But I think they're probably – To my surprise, because I did never expect this, I think they probably stick with them in the next year since they're not going to be able to get a high enough pick, most likely to draft somebody that's obviously there to replace him. So
yeah, at the moment they have pick 12. They're 4 and 5.
That was actually a little higher than I thought, but I thought it was more
they, like I have no idea what the rest of their schedule looks like or any of that stuff. But I don't know. Like I think it's in very much in the realm of possibility that they roll another year with Sam Howell. I feel like he's shown enough and that most coaches are arrogant enough to believe they could fix the kind of problems he has. Like, cause he holds the ball too long. He doesn't process. It doesn't seem like he processes the plays very quickly. Like It takes some time to get through his reads and that's coachable. Like, you know, so I really feel like, especially with a good enough offensive coordinator like Eric Bieniemy, I think they take the you know, non-point scoring season to just be like, all right, we're going to work on this because we don't want you dead at the age of, like, 24. So, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with bringing in other weapons as well. I love what Brian Robinson is doing, but if they can get, like, a running back there to really help out the quarterback, I think that would be very good. So. Yeah, I like Howell.
Yeah, if he could play the Eagles every week, he'd be a Pro Bowler, but unfortunately he can't.
Well, I don't know. He might not survive the pass rush to be able to.
He still manages something about the Eagles and Bieniemy's figured them out. Their defense out. Like the two games Howell's played against the Eagles this year, I think might be his two best games of the year.
Well, almost the entire defense is hurt at this point, so.
Yeah. I
mean, that helps. Or hurts you. But the next trade. Oh, we have the next two trades. We have two Rashee Rice trades. Trade Addicts 10 and Trade Addicts 11. Trade Addicts 10, Rashee Rice goes for a 24 second and Keaton Mitchell, and an 11, Rashee Rice and a 24 third for a 24 second and 25 second. I think I was the TA 11 one. And okay. I literally just went, okay.
Yeah, I feel like we might have had a similar Rashee Rice trade in a previous week, but yeah,
or I think you didn't delete this is still on the sheet. You didn't delete it.
No, I don't think that's. I put it on there, but maybe it was from the last week because I got confused with the dates. I don't know, but I definitely think he's worth 2 seconds. I would need more than Keaton Mitchell, so the other one's only 1 second. So yeah, I don't love that one. Rashee Rice was basically drafted for a second. I think he's worth at least two, given what we've seen at this point. He's not worth a first, so that's like kind of the perfect price for him.
What's your thoughts on Keaton Mitchell, though? I know it was one game, just because I mean, like he just came back and healthy. It's not like he was being benched or anything, and he looks. He looks fast. He looks like he's ready to be back, and that's something they like 4 years ago that could have been Justice Hill. They just didn't let him have that shot back then. But like I don't think he's going to be Devon Achane or anything like that. But I think he has the ability to have games like he had this past week. maybe not consistently, but clearly he seems like he's fast enough where any given play he can take it.
Yeah, I mean, he was drafted so late that I don't think he's ever going to be more than, just a speedy little guy that might pop off here and there. I don't think they're ever going to use him, like, significantly.
When you have Gus Edwards scoring three touchdowns every single game, you don't need to.
So I think he's a nice piece for an NFL team. I don't think you're ever going to have a point where you feel okay starting Keaton Mitchell in your lineup.
Yeah, I don't remember what league it was, but I did a trade for him and it was something very similar, like very silly, like a third for Mitchell. And I was just like, all right, whatever.
Sure. Yeah.
If someone wanted to capitalize a little bit, I'm just like, yeah, fine, whatever. It's fine. But that's the end of our show sheet. So that is going to be the end of our show. So, cause you know, I need to actually do some work today. What are we doing? I don't have anyone to thank cause we didn't have a guest, but no. patreon.com/trade. patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You can hang out with us while we record, talk to us, ask questions. Also, we have the Cool Kids Club, our chat on Discord, which is a ton of fun as well. And other than that, fantasycares.org, it pretty much is toy shopping time for Toys for Tots. So every single penny is insanely appreciated. We have two giveaways going right now. fantasycares.org/GG for goodness giveaway. We are giving away a Dak Prescott signed mini helmet. You have a chance to win that. And fantasycares.org/JDRF, Juvenile Diabetes Research Fund. You could win a Mark Andrews signed football jersey, which of course, if you went to patreon.com/tradeaddictspod, you could see me holding these things up right now.
Or what are you waiting for?
You can come hang out with us on Tuesdays on the Fantasy Cares YouTube channel and see me do this as well, because I run out of things to say, so I just hold things up to the camera. But on that note, it's work time. Usually I'm saying it's bedtime, but I've got to do some freaking work today. Good night, everybody. I don't know what to do. This is so weird.
I don't either.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants. That is the best. See ya.